Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek and has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn in Zion. Amen. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Hallelujah. And in the 17th chapter of John, this something a little out. Amen. Just a little dab of ring. Seventeen. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for thy sakes I sanctify myself. I'm still a little out. That they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Amen. And I like to preach on separated to bless. Sanctify means separated to a godly use. Separated from the unholy for holy use. Praise God. Amen. I believe in sanctification any way you want to preach it. Amen. I don't care if you preach it progressive, instantaneous, 15 times instantaneous. Amen. Get it. Hallelujah. Get a lot of it. Amen. Get it again and again and again. And progress in it, if you will. Hallelujah. Amen. Young preacher asked John W. Sullivan, I was sitting there in Barberville, Kentucky, how he asked John W. Sullivan, how do they believe sanctification down here? And John W. said, any way you want to preach it. Amen. That's the way we believe it at the Highway of Holiness. Just any way you want to preach it, that's the way we believe it. We just like a lot of sanctification. Amen. Hallelujah. But, amen. We need to save ourselves by all means, yes. But we also, as Paul said to Timothy, by doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. We need to save those that hear us. Hallelujah. Separated to God, amen, so God can bless ourselves, yes. Amen. But that's not all. Separated or sanctified to bless a lost world with the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's very, very important. Praise God. In other words, separated for a reason. Separated for God. When I came to the Highway of Holiness 23 years ago almost, amen, and I was shooting everything that stuck its head up and everything that run out from under the brush pile. And boy, there's fellas across the country that was reveling in those tapes as I was cleaning house at the Highway of Holiness, you know, and preaching on the gospel according to Silla Women, parenthesis, churches. Amen. Preaching on the heresy and all them good holiness messages and doctrines. Praise God. But after a while, amen, it took effect. And Highway of Holiness is a different church. as a whole than it was 23 years ago. But one brother across the country wrote me a letter, said, "What happened? You used to preach this and you used to preach that and against this and against that." I still do. I'm just as mean as I ever was when it comes to mistreating sin. Amen. I mean, praise God. But after a while, you need to be worth something. Amen. After a while, you need to bless somebody. There is a reason why we're separated. We're separated unto God so God can bless us and we can set the world on fire for the glory of God. Woo! Hallelujah! Spread the flame. All our time belongs to God, and we give all our time to God, so we'll have plenty of time to spend in church, fellowship meetings, camp meetings, praise God, prayer meetings, and visitation, and the work of God in the Bible, and prayer, and the good things of God, hallelujah, and visiting the sick, and healing the sick, and saving the lost, and praise God, raising the dead once in a while. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. We're sanctified to bless. And a lot of folks was getting a big kick out of while I was shooting everything that stuck its head up in the anointing of the Lord. Praise God. And there was plenty sticking its head up. And there was plenty, amen, running out from under the brush pile. And I was shooting plenty, amen. But after a while, hallelujah, it ought to have some effect. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'll demonstrate this way. There are a lot of preachers in the electronic church over the past 40 years that I've been around preaching the gospel and better. Amen. 48, pretty quick. That they spent all their time on the radio, said, "Send me some more money and send us a liberal offering and please help us so we can stay on the air and get more stations." And they get more stations and they spend all their time on the radio, amen, begging for more money so they can get on more stations and beg for more money so they can get on more stations, amen, and they never get around to really preaching the gospel. You ought to do something with it after a while. Besides, make a money drive. I mean, if all I had to do is to make a money drive every time I got up, I'd quit. Amen. After a while, it ought to sink in. And after a while, you've done all you can do with some things and some people. And amen. After a while, praise God, you need to get around to the real business of the church. The real reason we live holy is to help. Now, if we spend all our time and all our ministry trying to preach more holiness, and that's a phrase that's often used, more holiness than somebody else, more holiness than our competitor, more holiness than anybody in the country. Amen. The first thing you know, like a man on the radio was begging for more money. Amen. We're pulling new rabbits out of the hat every once in a while. More holiness. Amen. And not doing much with it. Amen. One preacher went out west to try out for a church. And he found a dozen people sitting around a pot-bellied stove. Amen. They'd run every pastor off they ever had. And he got up in a discouraging situation. He said, "Folks," said, "the Lord didn't send me here." He said, "Tell the truth, I don't know whether he knows where I'm at or not." He said, "Y'all ain't got too good a reputation, and I ain't either. Let's get together and build a church." Amen. Sometime or other, we need to lay things right on the line and put our efforts to work for God and build a kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because many times you'll find that the so-called church that is preaching more holiness and trying to preach more all the time than anybody else in the country, they're usually exceedingly small because there can't nobody live good enough to suit them. And they're suspicious of everybody, including the dozen that they've got in the congregation. And as some of them, they're like one preacher and his wife laying in the bed one night, and he said, wife, he said, I've decided that there's nobody living holy but me and thee. And sometimes I doubt thee. Amen. And hallelujah. Glory to God. One preacher counted, I think, 100 preachers. But out of 100 preachers, he could only find a handful that was holy. He was talking about holiness preachers that he knew. Amen. After a while, we ought to do something with all this sanctification we've got. After a while, we ought to do something with all this holiness we got. After a while, we ought to do something with all this spirit that we've got. And I full well realize the cross there is for a Pentecostal to bear today. To demonstrate, a Baptist can knock on the door one or two, three times, and they'll usually get that family. A Pentecost will have to knock on the same door 25 times and still not get the family, because the news is already out. They know, amen, that we are holiness. They know that we believe in being separated from the world. And the reason a lot of folks don't come around in the first place is because they know there's too high a price to pay, amen, to go to that church, and they bid for a cheaper escape route. Amen. And so the bargain sale is on. Hey, we're separated, are sanctified to bless, praise God. We are to bless the world with a gospel that is untarnished. We're to bless the world with a gospel that is undefiled. We're to bless the world with a gospel that is unpolluted. We're to bless the church world. We're to bless the hungry sheep. It's hard to feed those that's not hungry. We're to bless the sick, the dying, the desperate, the backslider, the broken. Praise God. Hey, amen. We've got a job to do. The 61st chapter of Isaiah tells us about an anointed Messiah. And there's nobody anointed as he was. There's nobody blessed like he's blessed. In our mentality, our way of thinking, he's the best. He's the zenith. Amen. But Jesus did say, as my heavenly Father has sent me, even so send I you. That means the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he said it was. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? To preach the gospel to the poor. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he's reading this in his home church. Preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, the healing of the bruised and wounded, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That alludes, some say, to the Jubilee. In other words, tell the folks that I have set them free. It's Jubilee, praise God. Woo, we're in a Jubilee dispensation. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's the year, the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. This, amen, 2,000th year. I mean already down the road. Already well into February, praise God. Now, just because you're anointed does not guarantee that you'll be a success with everybody, everywhere. Jesus was reading this in his own church. Amen. And he said, today the scripture's fulfilled in your ears. But the anointing was rejected. The gospel was rejected. The preacher was rejected. It wasn't because he wasn't living holy. It wasn't because he wasn't separated. It wasn't because he wasn't a man of God. They never gave him a chance. Jesus failed in Nazareth to break the ice. Amen. As a matter of fact, he failed twice in Nazareth. He came back after a while and preached again. And it was there they said, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Are not his brothers and sisters here with us?" Amen. Now you're going to have to tear some pages out of the Bible if you're a Catholic and you don't believe Jesus had brothers and sisters. Amen. Catholics say they ignore that in the holy canon of Scripture, and they go to some other perversion, amen, and teach that Mary didn't have any more kids. She had a whole house full of them. Amen. And that's one reason they reject him. Said, "We know him. We know this is a carpenter's son, and we know all his brothers and sisters. We've seen him ever since he was knee-high to a duck." Amen. They never gave him a chance at Nazareth. He could there do no mighty work. The Bible said the second time, except he healed a few sick folks. Amen. No matter how gifted you are, no matter how anointed you are, you probably will have to leave home and stay gone a good long while before you'll have the honor at home that you had anywhere else in the world. Amen. A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. I've seen fellas get red in the face because the church was setting on them. Amen. And they wasn't getting over, and all in the world it was. They knew him all his life. They knew every time he backslid, every time he stubbed up and pouted. Amen. And he'd get up and try to preach to them and try to preach a little holiness, and they'd sit there and not even hardly say amen. He'd get mad. Amen. Ain't no use to get mad. Amen. We used to have a game, you know, that whoever was it came around, you know, and asked for certain things. And amen. The fellow that couldn't grant his request said, "Go to the next neighbor." And he'd go to the next one. Go to the next neighbor. Until he made all rounds. Amen. Hey, if you don't go over one place, it may be you need to go to the next neighbor. Amen. Hallelujah. He took the same anointing and moved just a few miles down the mountainside, amen, down by the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum, amen. And there, brother, they were sick and tired of the devil setting up shop right in the church. That man, demon possessed, had been coming in there and tearing up the service for a long time. Amen. And brother, they was cocked and primed for a prophet that had the message that would deliver them. Praise God. Amen. I was in Grand City camp meeting about 25 years ago, or 6, or 7, or 8, somewhere thereabouts. Amen. And those times my churches were so weak that I felt like I had to leave the camp back when he used to have them over the weekend still. And Grand City camp went from Monday till about 2 weeks. We started on Sunday and went 2 weeks into the Thursday of the next week at that time. And so I would go up on Monday, and then I'd go back for the weekend all the way back to Barberville, Kentucky, and then back to the camp meeting on Monday. So tired, beating that road, and I'd drive all the way back, praise God, to try to help out and see the camp go over for God and do my best for God. I'd gone home over the weekend. I didn't know a thing about it. But there was a brother that was got up, and he was prophesying in the camp, and he was making havoc of the service, taking over the service. And the brethren, older brethren in charge, they was kind and nice and indulging, and finally they got him off and talked to him, and amen, and told him, said, "Now you've had your say. Give somebody else a chance. Quit monopolizing so much of the time." Amen. Well, it made the prophet mad. And so Monday I breezed back in on the campground, and in the afternoon service, here the prophet was sitting back there. Amen. And he got up and started prophesying again. And I saw it was wrong. And I was cocked and primed for him. Amen. And if he hadn't have made such a mess out of things all weekend, I would have been wrong in doing what I did. But I already had my guitar tuned up in the key of A. And I got up behind the microphone and I started singing, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up," that congregation, "with one mind and one accord," stood up with me. And they began to sing, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Amen. I couldn't have done that Saturday, Sunday, amen, or Sunday night. But Monday, they had it up to here, and they was ready for deliverance. And I was their deliverer, praise God, singing, "They that wait upon the Lord." And the last I seen of the prophet, he was taken off out across the campground towards the road. Amen. We didn't have any trouble out of him anymore. The Holy Ghost took care of it. Well, they had one in the synagogue in Nazareth. And Jesus got there just in time for the Sabbath service. And there was a man that had an unclean spirit right there in the church. Brother George Davis preached, "How did the devil get in?" There he was in the church. And you know what? They was crying for deliverance. They was ready for deliverance. I mean, they was powdered, cocked, and primed for deliverance. Praise God. All they needed was somebody to pull the trigger. And here comes Jesus. Praise God. And he rebukes that devil right in the synagogue and casts the devil out of that man. And the revival's on in Capernaum. I mean, in a few days he was having such crowds in Capernaum, amen, that four men couldn't get one sick man through the crowd. And so they found a back way, amen, found them a ladder and climbed up on top of the roof, praise God, and tore the roof off. Oh, amen. Ah, that's okay. Generally we need somebody to fix the roof. Generally we're out of fix it men, amen, when the trouble comes in the roof. Amen. It's got a hole in it. But in this case, amen, they was ready for somebody to tear the roof off. And they tore the tiles back, laid them back on the roof, and let that man down in a sheet, desperate to get to Jesus. Don't get discouraged if you don't go over one place. Some place is desperate for you. Don't get mad because some folks stub up on you. Amen. Keep living good and keep a right spirit. Amen. Somebody needs you. Somebody is ready for you. They're crying for you. They've been praying for you. I'm talking about people that's anointed. I'm talking about wholeness preachers. Praise God. Amen. They was desperate for deliverance in Capernaum. Amen. Jesus didn't succeed in Nazareth even a second time. But on his way to Jerusalem, he said, "I must needs go by Samaria." Amen. You know, they'd been fellowship clear out for years. They were considered half-breeds, half-Jew, and half-heathen, and all those ideas about worshiping in that mount there in Samaria, and the woman at the well, she posed the question, said, "Our father say to worship in this mountain, and the others say worship in Jerusalem. Where should I worship?" Jesus said, "The time's coming, and it's here already. I tell you that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Amen. That woman at the well without a friend in the world. Somebody said that's why she came at noon. They didn't usually draw water at noon. She didn't have a friend. But she found one that day. Amen. She found a friend in Jesus, and she left there saying, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend she found that day." She was so impressed by this newfound friendship with Jesus, bless your heart, amen, that she went tearing through that city and said, "Come and see the man that told me everything I ever done. Is not this Messiah is the Messiah?" I mean, she hadn't had time to progress too much in holiness, but they knew she'd got something. Amen. What holiness she got talking to Jesus. She put it to work. She went knocking on doors. She went up and down the streets and lanes of the city and said, "Come and tell me. Come and see the man. Amen. And tell me everything I ever done. Is not this a Christ? This is the Messiah. Praise God." And you know what? They was ready for Him. The greatest holiness preacher was welcome in one of the most unholy places in Jewish folklore, Samaria. Amen. It was a hated Samaritan that stopped and put that man on his beast that was half dead. Amen. Half dead and half alive. Amen. Jesus succeeded in Samaria. Amen. Not only did He succeed in Samaria, He laid the foundation for another revival 4 years later, or thereabouts. Praise God. The Bible said when the persecution rose up, Jerusalem might have been closer to 10 years later. Amen. When the persecution rose up in Jerusalem, amen, that Philip left the person. He was one of the deacons. He left his deaconship. Why did he leave his deaconship? Because God was about to promote him to evangelist. Amen. You know, Philip did more as a deacon than some preachers do as a pastor across the world. Amen. Philip did many miracles in Jerusalem while he waited on tables and dispersed relief to the widows, amen, and made sure that everybody got their fair share. He was healing sick and casting out devils and doing miracles, amen. He was using his anointing to do some good. And he wasn't even one of the pastors. He wasn't even an assistant pastor. He was a deacon, a servant, serving tables. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ah, amen. Here's a situation. There's a lot of deacons sitting around in so-called holiness churches with their binoculars out and their stethoscope out and their microscope out and they're nitpicking. Amen. That's all they do. They're looking for flaws in the pastor and the evangelist and the rest of the people in the church. They're nitpicking. And instead of their wife being grave and well-behaved and, amen, filling the same qualifications as a deacon, she's gossiping. He nitpicks and she tells the whole country about it. Amen. And so, brother and sister, Ananias and Sapphira, amen, are still alive and well. They might have fell dead in front of Peter, but that same spirit has come over to the United States of America and gotten some holiness churches. And they're nitpicking. You know why some people nitpick? To take the pressure off themselves. They think if they look holy enough and righteous enough and godly enough themselves, nobody will suspect them. But Jesus said, you hypocrites, you're white on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. Amen. Nitpicking. Why did sepulchers sitting around in church, amen, never available to do anything, never available, amen, to do any profitable work, never available to win souls? Hey, you know the Bible? You're a good teacher. Amen. Good preacher. I've seen a lot of awful good evangelists that it was over after they got done preaching. Amen. They couldn't hardly wait to get to shaking hands after church. They didn't work in the altar or nothing. Amen. You never see them talking to anybody about the Lord. Lost, that is. They argue plenty. Amen. About the things they're nitpicking. The things that are unprofitable. Amen. But they haven't really got a burden for souls. Their knees are so stiff they can't bend. Amen. They're so high up that they can't get down and help somebody else get up. Amen. They're so far removed from the run of the mill. Amen. The slaves and the knaves. Amen. That. They can't come down in order to do personal work. They know how to nitpick, but they don't know how to tell anybody how to get saved. They know how to nitpick. They're good at it. They've been doing it for 50 years. But they can't get enough scripture together to tell their neighbor how to get saved. They're not skilled in that. They're skilled at nitpicking. They're skilled at gossiping. Amen. They're skilled at picking the missionary's bones. Amen. We got plenty of folks right here in the United States of America that needs help. We ain't got no business sending money across the waters. You try taking up an offering for somebody that needs help right here in the United States of America and see how much they give. They ain't going to give none to nobody. Truth is, they don't want you to say nothing about giving. Amen. There's many a church member, praise God, that's praying about something and praying the Lord will help somebody. Amen. And they got the answer to their own prayer right in their hip pocket. Right in their checkbook. Amen. Ain't no use to pray any further if you got the answer in your checkbook. Amen. No use to pray anymore. You got the answer in your hip pocket. Amen. Let him know that that man's religion is vain. Who? The man that says, brother, be thou clothed and fed. Hey, but I ain't got time to clothe and feed nobody. I'm too busy doing my nitpicking. I ain't got time to help nobody. I was called to be a watchman. Amen. Well, how many watchmen do you think we need? Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, I was called to be a watchman. And they got the meanest kids in the country. They never could see anything that their own kids was doing. They never could head their own youngins off. I don't know. I just can't do nothing with my girl. How old is she? 3.
How much do you weigh? 250 pounds. Amen. You mean you can't do anything with a 40-pound three-year-old and you weigh 250 pounds? Sat on them! Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I mean blind in one eye and can't see out of the other and deaf in both ears when it comes to them mean kids. Why? Amen. I don't understand why my kid went wild. Might be because it's too busy nitpicking. Amen. I'm not saying that's the case in every situation. Amen. God had a son called Adam and he went astray. He fell right out of the Garden of Eden. Amen. I said all that to say this. You're going to have a hard enough time with your kids doing the best you can. Amen. Much less if you're playing the hypocrite. They know it. Amen. And some of these days, if you're not a hypocrite, they're going to acknowledge it. My dad got saved. He really got saved, they're going to say. He may not be following your footsteps now, Mom. Amen. But they're going to acknowledge that they had an angel for a mother some of these days. Amen. And they're going to realize what they was missing. Ah, yes. Amen. We're going to have a hard enough time. Praise God. Oh, yes. Jesus was a paradox of failure and success in Jerusalem. Amen. Incidentally, Peter and John came down to Samaria also and helped finish the job that Jesus and Philip started. They brought them all the way to Pentecost. Amen. I mean, they even took care of old Simon the sorcerer. Amen. He was the first charismatic. Amen. In the church. Yeah, he was. Amen. He wanted to buy it with money. It's one thing charismatics will do. They will liberally distribute money. If you don't talk about what they're doing, if you don't talk about the way they're living, they will give. Amen. They'll outgive holiness folks about any time of day or night, at least professed holiness church folks. Amen. It's conscience money. Hallelujah. Amen. They've got a guilty conscience. And amen. They're like folks that's all the time sending money to Internal Revenue. Late in life, amen, Internal Revenue gets checks, $5,000, $10,000 from anonymous people. I feel like I owe this. America's been good to me. Or I cheat on the income taxes. What is it? It's conscience money that the Internal Revenue's getting. Amen. And a lot of money that the charismatics is giving is conscience money. Amen. That's okay. Praise God. You're starting in the right direction, I guess. Amen. Hallelujah. But they even got rid of old Simon the sorcerer. And hallelujah. Revival was on. Let the church roll on. Praise God. And amen. Peter and John brought Pentecost and holiness down to Samaria. Praise God. After Philip preached the gospel and won them to God and did many miracles. And Philip was led of the Lord to go down into the desert, down into the highway that goes through the desert, even Gaza, and preach to one man. Leave that big revival. Praise God. And Jesus was both a success and a failure in Jerusalem. The paradox of his Jerusalem ministry. They rejected him and crucified him. But he succeeded anyway and rose from the dead right in Jerusalem. Amen. And folks, that cross you've been carrying since you got saved, there's a reason for it. There's a purpose for it. Sooner or later, we got to die on it. Paul said, I die daily. We might as well die out to self right now. Praise God, submit to the cross right now. If there's a cross attached to holiness, go ahead and bear it and shout the praises of God. Hallelujah. Some of these days, real soon, we'll lay down that cross that chasm into eternity. Praise God, and it'll just fit, and we'll have a bridge into eternal Eden, into eternal paradise. Praise God. Hallelujah. He was rejected, but rejection is not always failure. Amen. Sometimes you don't want some folks to speak well of you. The Bible said, beware when all men speak well of you. Amen. Oh boy, you preach a little holiness, as Don Rich said. You'll catch it from both directions. You'll catch it from the church world. Amen. Ah, this unsaved world, this unconverted world, this heathen world, it could care less. They won't even come around. Amen. They're not listening. They're not paying any attention. But if you preach too much, and hear too much, and see too much, and have too much, they're going to call you self-righteous. They're going to call you judgmental. But there's some folks, you don't want to speak well of you. Amen. But we can live so good that nobody can speak evil of us without making it look bad on them. Can you say amen? Amen. You're talking about Brother so-and-so. Amen. I know what kind of fellow you are. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because if you was right where you ought to be, you'd be on the side of right. You'd be on the side of holiness. You'd be on the side of truth. Praise God. You wouldn't be wanting to say, crucify him, crucify him. But that's the way it goes. Jesus said they hated me and they'll hate you. Amen. And that's part of the cross that we got to bear. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. Us holiness folks, we're a lonely enough group. We don't need to be sticking each other in the back. Us holiness folks, there's few enough of us as it is. We don't need to be shooting each other. Amen. They have in the military what they call friendly fire. That is being shot at from your own people. Amen. An artillery barrage from your own people. And every war has to survive a few of them. But some of us are so desperate for help. In one of those heartbreak ridges in Korea in the early 50s, amen, a soldier surrounded by the enemy and pinned down, and most of his boys was already killed or wounded. He called for air support. The commander of the air support, amen, was loaded with napalm bombs. And boy, I mean, when one of them explodes, it's hell on earth where that thing blows up. Amen. He said, where do you want it, soldier? The enemy was so close, he said, right on top of us. But he said, if I'd have known they was using napalm, I wouldn't have said that. He sat there in his foxhole and watched that fire that those aircraft, those fighter bombers, had kindled right before his very eyes. Amen. Folks, you're going to get so full of backsliding and apostasy, amen, and wickedness and ungodliness in the pulpit, in the pew, amen, you're going to call for air support from heaven. And the radio's going to crackle where you want it, soldier. You'll say, right on top of us. Amen. Because you're desperate for help. But he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
And he who has eyes like a flame of fire, hallelujah, is going to walk into the camp and look through everybody, look holes through everybody, praise God. And even though you cringe, that flame, his feet are like fine brass burned in the fire. Amen. His eyes are more bright than the sun, piercing like laser beams. Nitpicking to make yourself exclusive and have a following. Amen. Or to cast reflection in another direction than yourself. I'm talking about shelling down the corn. Amen. Praying through real good every day. Confessing up to God and living right. Can you say amen? Stand with me and let's pray. Father, challenge our hearts to have a sanctification that works. Not to soft pedal it, not to abandon it, and not to nitpick it, but to put it to work for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Something wrong. And we can talk about everything in the world to everybody in the country, but we can't cry out to God. Something wrong. Let's cry out to Him tonight. As they sing, we invite you to an altar prayer. Turn around if you feel like it and invite somebody else.